I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and join me in turning to James chapter 4. It is, again, it's printed on the flip side of the order of service if you want to use that. James 4 verses 13 through 17. As some of you know, I recently had a birthday. Funny how those things come around pretty regularly, don't they? Thank you for the birthday cards and well wishes on Facebook and all those. I don't get on Facebook, so if you wish me a happy birthday on Facebook, thank you. For me, birthdays are a time of reflection regarding the direction and the progression of my life. And they are especially true the older I get. That is especially true, rather, the older I get. More and more, the realization of my mortality becomes very clear to me, especially the fact that I am now within 4 years of the age of my father when he died. So that fact really presses upon me, not in a burdening way, but in a way just to say, all right, you're not going to live forever, okay? You need to make sure that that you're using your time wisely. So that highlights and intensifies the reflection time a bit. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid, but the reality is that we all need to pause from time to time and ask ourselves, if we are, as the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5:16, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The passage that I want to turn our attention to this evening is one that emphasizes the need to take time seriously and not take it for granted. Not to take life for granted, especially since we really spend so little time here on this earth and eternity is so long. If you would, follow with me as I read from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Would you bow with me again in prayer? Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight. Not just to be informed, Lord, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give 3 points from this passage this evening. First of all, there's a word about presumption. Secondly, there is a word about pride. And thirdly, there is a word about priorities in life. First of all, notice there is here a word about presumption. James writes, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such town and spend a year there, so on and so forth. He says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You're presuming on the future. What is your life? You are just a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Do not presume on the future. We are reminded in Scripture, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So keep that in mind and don't presume. Now, James is not condemning planning for the future. Again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, is very clear that we are to look to the ant and prepare. He writes, Solomon writes, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise without having any chief, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. But there must always be a sense, a dependence on God and of His and on His sovereign will for our lives. You know, the Bible uses a variety of metaphors to remind us of the brevity of life. It is called a declining shadow. in Psalm 102, verse 11. A whiff of breath, Job 7:7. A vanishing cloud, Job 7, verse 9. And a wild flower, Psalm 103:15. These are just a few of the images that were given to remind us that our life on this earth is brief. There's an anonymous poem that I often use at funerals to remind people about this. I came across it many years ago and expresses this truth. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. Then as with the years I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find as I travel on, time gone. It's coming more quickly than we like to think. So the question for us is, are we making the most of time? Or are we presuming on the time? Think about how you use the past week. Think about the opportunities. Think about what you did with the time, the moments that the Lord gave you, the hours, the days that God gifted to you that you were not promised. And how are you planning to use tomorrow should the Lord give you tomorrow? There's a word here about presumption. We ought to say, if the Lord wills. And that leads us to the second point. Excuse me. There is a word not only about presumption, but about pride, because it really is a matter of pride that causes us to think that we have a guarantee of tomorrow. Again, James writes, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, James had in mind in particular those who live their lives in general as they wanted to without a care about the Lord. But the reality is that we all have to guard against our tendency to make plans without considering that God is the one who is in control. Presumption is actually an expression of pride or arrogance. We would never consciously believe that the Lord owes us a certain number of years. Would we? Or that we actually have complete control over the direction of our lives. However, often the way we plan our lives and the way we live our lives reveals that little thought has been given to whether or not what we're doing is actually God's will for our lives, whether or not the Lord is taken to account when we make our plans. We have an illustration from the Gospels. Jesus was once asked by a man, Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. We looked at this a while back, a couple of months ago, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And the Lord gave this parable about those who are not rich toward God, but also in there, there's this matter of presumption and pride on the future. Here's what he says. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A number of lessons from that parable, but the one for us tonight is, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Who is to say that the Lord hopefully would not call us a fool? But that tonight, the Lord would not say of any of us, it's time. It's time to come home. It's time. Your time on earth is ended. And don't think that this is just for us old folks, all right? One of my best friends from high school, within 2 years of graduating, was gone with the Lord. You have friends. You have people in your own circle that you know who, from a human perspective, went before their time. We use that phrase. We need to be careful about presumption and pride that would cause us to think that we are owed tomorrow or that we are in control of our destiny. William Cook wrote a book several years ago entitled Success, Motivation, and the Scriptures. And in it, he has an illustration of those who really exemplify the problem that I'm talking about. He describes a meeting that took place in 1923 in Chicago among a group of business tycoons. Together, these men controlled unthinkable sums of wealth, and for years, the media had trumpeted their success stories. On this day, they assembled to enjoy their mutual success. Dr. Cook relays what happened to these men in the years that followed. Charles Schwab, the president of the largest independent steel company, lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life and died penniless. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, served time in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, a former member of the U.S. president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear on Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Fraser, the president of the Bank of International Settlement, committed suicide. Ivan Kruger, head of the world's largest monopoly, committed suicide. They all met to enjoy the success, celebrate it, and plan the future that they would control. And yet, it didn't turn out like they planned. We need to hear this word about presumption and this word about pride. And then we need to hear this word about priorities. James writes, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. There are a lot of reasons why we might not do the right thing. We might say, I'll do it tomorrow. We might say, well, you know, I've got this situation and I can't do it. But James says, to the one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, for him it is sin. According to one commentator on this passage, perhaps the greatest sins of today's saints are not the horrible things they do, but the good things they fail to do. Not God's commands that they fail to obey, but God's challenges that they fail to fulfill. He then goes on to list some of the categories of our sins of omission. First, we're guilty of the sin of slothfulness. We have a tendency to take the easy way out, to do what is comfortable, what is pleasurable, and avoid the challenging things, the difficult things. You know, it's not always perhaps the most pleasurable thing to do is to start your day with the Word of God, or to finish your day with the Word of God, or with time in prayer. And so we say, well, you know, I'll do it later. And before we know, later never comes. And we've spent the day or days or weeks without giving ourselves to the most important things. So we are guilty of the sin of slothfulness. Secondly, we are guilty of the sin of self-centeredness. Self-centeredness, not thinking about others or even the Lord's will, but thinking about what would make me happy, what would please me. And then thirdly, we are guilty of the sin of silence. We don't do the right things, we don't love the right things or right people, and we don't say the timely thing when the opportunity arises. So we're guilty of the sin of slothfulness, self-centeredness, and the sin of silence. As I think about these matters and thinking about it for myself, I'm afraid that this verse from James Albury may describe me too much. He slept beneath the moon. He basked beneath the sun. He lived a life of going to do and died with nothing done. I'll do it tomorrow. So what should we do? Considering the Lord's word to us through James, the pen of James, about presumption, pride, and priorities. Well, let me recommend to you another passage from the book of Romans, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and this will be brief. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. James is saying there, okay, what is God's will for us? How are you going to figure out what God's will is? Well, His will is found in His Word, but on a practical level, there are three things that I would recommend. First of all, evaluate. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, or in view of God's mercies. One translation says, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So think, first of all, evaluate what it is that God has done for us. We need to begin every day by preaching the gospel to ourselves. What do I mean by that? Well, we need to remind ourselves of what God has done for us in Christ. We need to be careful lest Scripture become, some of what we read in Scripture become rather guilt motivation, or lead us to a guilt motivation rather than gospel motivation. We don't want to fall into unbiblical legalism, trying to earn God's favor by doing the right things. We need to keep in mind what God has done for us in Christ and the opportunity that we have to live and tell the gospel to others. So, number one, be evaluate. Evaluate God's grace and mercy, and not only what He has done for us, but the fact that we want others to know this same grace and mercy that God has had on us. Secondly, dedicate. Daily dedicate yourself to the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, or in view of God's mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Realize that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So that we really are called to live in a way that pleases the Lord and not please ourselves. That's what the Scripture says the Lord Jesus did. He didn't seek to please Himself, but He sought to please His Father, and He gave Himself. So dedicate yourself to that, to spending every moment in following the Lord and asking, Lord, what is your will for my life? What would please you? What would be an appropriate use of this time right now? Evaluate, dedicate, and number three, in order to do that, eliminate. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, the world will say, hey, here's all the good things. Here's all the fun things. Here, pursue this, the things that Solomon talked to us about this morning. This and this and this, those things will give you happiness, those will give you fulfillment, and yet, more often than not, they are not the things that ought to be the priority things. Many of those things can really be left alone. Much of the things we give ourselves to. Eliminate the things, not just the evil things, but you heard from others, and I've said it myself, that oftentimes the good is the bitter enemy of the best. See, for us, often it's not choosing between here's an evil, here's a sinful thing, and here's a good thing. It's saying, okay, here's a good thing. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But what's the best thing? What would be the best use of my time and of my life? Life is lived moment by moment. And it is those moment by moment decisions that really determine the direction and the progression of our lives. It's like I once read that often when we think about a living sacrifice, we think about it giving ourselves totally and, you know, in one act, one big act of sacrifice to the Lord, when in reality it's kind of like our lives are dispensed in quarters and dollars, you know, little by little. It's those daily, moment by moment choices that in the long run make the difference. So, again, from James, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Well, we're going to do a right thing this evening. And that is, we are going to celebrate the gift of God to us in and through His Son by celebrating the Lord's Supper. We're going to partake of the bread and the cup, which are a picture to us of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. If you are a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether your membership is here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church or in some other Bible-believing church, we welcome you and invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. After I pray, while I'm praying, the deacons are going to be coming forward. Pastor Greg is actually going to lead and serve the deacons, who will in turn serve you during this time. I have a cold, don't want to share anything unnecessary with you, so I'm not going to handle the elements. But Pastor Greg will be leading this, and we will celebrate God's gift to us together. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we do think about your mercies. Lord, we do acknowledge that you are rich in mercy, and Lord, the fact that we woke up this morning, the fact that we have today, the fact that we are here this evening is an example of your mercy to us. Father, the fact that we are not under your wrath is a reminder to us of your great mercy toward us. Lord, help us to live in the light of that. Father, help us to serve you, not to try to pay you back, but Lord, out of both gratitude for what you have done, but also, Father, out of faith for what you're going to do in the future, whether it be here or in heaven. Lord, help us to serve you faithfully. And help us, Lord, to hear your word to our lives. Now, Lord, we pray your blessings upon this time as we celebrate your goodness to us in Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, and in the anticipation of his soon return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.